This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. If you don't know what rain barrels are or how to set one up, maybe you should.
It's a great way to keep your garden and our watershed healthy. So not only can it help lower the cost of your water bill, but they can also benefit you and your community.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. A groundbreaking ceremony in the city of Weirton this week celebrates efforts to improve clean water access. Maria Young reports.
The ceremonial gesture on Tuesday recognizes the start of a $44 million expansion for the Weirton Water Treatment Plant. It's designed to double the capacity of the city's plant from 4 to 8 million gallons per day. Plus, it aims to improve both the quality and the reliability of water for residents and local businesses. The project was funded through the Environmental Protection Agency, the Infrastructure and Jobs Development Council, and the West Virginia Governor's Office, as well as a variety of grants and contributions. The expansion is expected to create 150 construction jobs over 24 months and is slated for completion in March of 2026. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Maria Young.
Earlier this month, Tropical Storm Debbie brought heavy rainfall to the Mountain State. Some rainfall enters the soil, but a lot of it collects pollutants and ends up in waterways. By installing rain barrels, farmers and gardeners can collect rainwater and ensure it goes directly to their crops. Eastern Panhandle reporter Jack Walker spoke with Colleen Seeger, a stormwater technician for the city of Martinsburg, about how to install and use rain barrels.
So what are rain barrels and how do you use them?
So rain barrel, you can buy them at Lowe's or Home Depot or even Tractor Supply has barrels and kits that you can get. But it's essentially like a food grade barrel, and you can buy a kit for it and cut holes in it and install it yourself in your home, and it attaches to your gutter and it collects any of the water that hits your roof that would go into the ground, and you can just keep it in I'm not too sure how big these barrels are. I want to say they're about 50 gallons, and it stores the water there for you, and you can use it to water your garden whenever you need. It also, you know, if it gets full, it has like an overflow, so it infiltrates through the ground instead of turning into runoff, which can pick up pollutants. And we try to avoid any unnecessary stormwater runoff.
Can you expand on that? What are some of the benefits of using rain barrels in gardening or in agriculture?
Sure. So rain barrels, you can use them for watering your garden. They can be really good for collecting rainwater so that they don't go down our stormwater infrastructure. It's basically a great way to keep your garden and our watershed healthy. So not only can it help lower the cost of your water bill, but they can also benefit you and your community in tons of ways. Collecting rainwater, reduces the amount of stormwater that enters the storm system, and that can decrease the burden on the infrastructure, which minimizes risks of like a combined sewer overflow, which can obviously be bad for our watershed. Letting it infiltrate the ground instead of turning into runoff will minimize pollution. That's always appreciated. So for like a stormwater perspective, if it turns into stormwater, it can turn into, you know, pick up trash and oil, other toxic pollutants before it reaches our stream. We have the Tuscarora and the Dry Run in the city of Martinsburg. So that's primarily what we try to protect pollutants from getting into. Anytime rainwater is collected, it's slowed down and it can prevent pollutants entering the stream. And it can, whether it's like sediment and nutrients or oil and heavy metals, we want to try to keep that stuff out of our creeks. So collecting it, not only does it help prevent pollution, but you can also use it to have a really healthy garden. And it has you know, it's the purest form of water, so it doesn't have any added chemicals or anything in that. So that's exactly what your plants want to thrive. It can, you know, divert water away from, say you have like your water's coming down from your roof and it's infiltrating down into the ground and causing some flooding issues in your basement. If you have a rain barrel, it can kind of fix that for you. And also you can have a garden that's nice and lush and beautiful.
How has the city of Martinsburg been spreading awareness about rain barrels and their benefits?
So the city of Martinsburg hosts typically 2 workshops a year at their roundhouse for the farmers market, where cities that live within the city limits can get free rain barrels if they sign up. We typically have someone reach out to the local newspaper or on social media, and we'll post that there or on our website, and we'll update that whenever we have rain barrel workshops. I know the county also, often they'll raffle off free rain barrels. Berkeley County Stormwater, they often raffle off their rain barrels, and you can give them a call if you don't live within city limits. And we eventually one day would like to have, you know, the city and the county work together for an event, maybe where we can have folks come out and paint rain barrels, and it'd be like a really fun community activity where people can come out and learn about how they work, how to install them, how to keep them safe during the winter time and make them last as long as you possibly can. So we'll try to have more events in the future so people can come out and do that or just learn about it. They don't have to sign up for a rain barrel. They can just come out. Anybody can come out and learn about what they're good for and how to make them work for whatever they need them for, whether it's their garden or if they're having some damp basements or anything like that. We typically try to host those events twice a year.
That was Colleen Seeger, a stormwater technician from Martinsburg, talking to Jack Walker about the uses and benefits of a rain barrel. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Variable cloudiness today. There's a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms. Highs in the 60s and 70s. Tonight, partly cloudy. A slight chance of rain and thunderstorms in the eastern panhandle. Lows in the 50s. Mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the 60s and 70s. Support for WVPB is provided by Dutch Miller Subaru in Charleston. Dutch Miller Automotive is proud to be dedicated to multiple community service initiatives and local charities. More about our team and the Subaru Love Promise at DutchMillerSubaru.com. Mining is a key part of West Virginia's past, but pollution from abandoned mine drainage is one of the unfortunate legacies of the state's energy history. As Chris Schultz reports, one waterway in Monongalia County is on a path to recovery with new opportunities on the horizon.
Running more than 20 miles across Preston County and into Monongalia County, Decker's Creek discharges into the Monongahela River in the heart of Morgantown's downtown. Today, Brian Hurley is walking through a water treatment location near Kingwood.
We've got a portal, like a collapsed portal right up there. I'm pretty overgrown now. This is another former collapsed portal. You can kind of see where all the muck is coming out. Uh-huh.
3 long-abandoned mine portals are almost completely obscured by vegetation, except for one, which oozes the unmistakable orange sludge of mine drainage. But just feet from the old portal, the ooze passes under a large green tower on the edge of a pond. Hurley says normal water pH is neutral, around 7, but some sites he's worked at have registered below a 3 on the scale, close to vinegar or lemon juice, and not habitable for most aquatic species. Lime from the tower is added to the water to normalize its pH before it enters King Creek, a tributary of Decker's Creek.
On the other side, there's actually a pipe that puts water into this tipping bucket, And then when it loads up, the weight of the water in the lime tips itself back and forth, and that's how you get your dose of lime.
Hurley is the director of Friends of Decker's Creek, a 501c3 aimed at improving the quality of Decker's Creek as well as promoting recreation. Hurley's organization has been leading acid mine drainage mitigation on Decker's Creek for almost 25 years. After getting dosed with lime, the water from the abandoned mine portal is diverted again.
This is our holding pond, and we usually go for about, standard tends to be about a 24-hour hold time, and that should give time to for all the metals to settle out, and you can see the orange color, and you can see all the sludge in there. That's how you know it's actually working. So
Hurley and Friends of Decker's Creek maintain 8 small and mid-scale treatment locations like the Kings Creek Station that have slowly helped to improve the quality of the creek's water.
The state of Decker's Creek back in the day, numerous people have used the term cesspool. It was just in horrible, horrible shape. So it was bright orange and bright red.
Recently, the addition of the large-scale Richard Mine acid mine drainage treatment plant about a mile upstream of Morgantown has been the final piece of the puzzle to complete the cleanup of Decker's Creek. Since its activation in April, the Richard Mine site has led to reports of indicator species returning to the waterway.
We have multiple age classes of trout, of brown trout in Decker's Creek. So that is real. We get pictures of them. It's super, super exciting.
The Richard Mine Plant is part of a more than $140 million investment to address pollution from abandoned mine lands in West Virginia from the Federal Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. The treatment plant works on the same principles as the Friends site, but several orders of magnitude larger, and will stop thousands of pounds of acidity and metals from entering the waterway. Standing on the banks of Decker's Creek across from the new treatment center, Hurley points out the streaks of heavy metals still visible on the stream from almost a century of previously unchecked mine drainage.
On the rocks on the right side, you can kind of see the remnants of the aluminum. Look at the distinct between river right and river left. See how orange those rocks are and how rock color those rocks are here. So that is just a clear like line of delineation of where the like Richard Mine treatment is, or former Richard Mine acid mine drainage is coming in. It's less showy now than it was, but like before they built this, it was just painfully bright streaking of aluminum and iron there.
West Virginia University and other regional partners are exploring the possibility of extracting those metals and other rare earth metals from sites like the Richard Mine for industrial use. But for locals like Louis Giuliani, the creek's cleanup presents another opportunity.
When we started talking about Decker's Creek as a potential asset, the notional idea said, well, okay, the Richard Mine Treatment Center is going to be up and running here in the next year or two. Let's take advantage of that initiative.
Giuliani is the owner of music venue 123 Pleasant Street and one of downtown Morgantown's community leaders exploring the new possibilities of recreation in Decker's Creek. Through the organization Main Street Morgantown, Giuliani and others have commissioned a feasibility study to create interactive water features such as a whitewater park.
We started querying about potential water dynamics, you know, whether it be whitewater, whether it be a floating river, or just some things that would be an attraction.
The water feature on Decker's Creek, upstream of downtown Morgantown, would form part of a linear park, connecting amenities and attractions along the existing Decker's Creek Trail.
Now you're looking at Morgantown as being something beyond just this college town. Now it becomes a point of interest. You're leaning into the things that are already proven concepts. You know, whether it be a Boulder, Colorado, or a Greenville, South Carolina, or, you know, on larger dynamics, you know, San Antonio. These water features, when you refine them and take care of them, they prove to be catalysts for transforming communities.
That vision is still years away from being realized, but due to Decker's pollution, it was inconceivable to invite residents and visitors to interact with its waters just a few years ago. With thousands of miles of waterways across West Virginia still struggling with pollution from mine drainage, Decker's Creek is showing that cleanup can happen and bring new opportunities on the other side. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
West West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.